Hi, I'm Alexa.
And I'm Rory, and together we are
the Romies.
We are married.
To each other.
Right. We are a touring musical duo.
And our music has taken us to all kinds of places all around the world and keeps us always on the go.
So we hope you enjoy our stories and adventures while running around working to keep all your plates spinning.
And we hope to facilitate your busy lifestyle and feed your inner travel bug. Hi!
Welcome to episode number...
180-something.
I don't know.
Like,
it doesn't really matter.
We're almost to 200, folks.
Yeah, welcome anyway.
Getting there, getting there. Today, we are going to talk about pretty much
ready?
Our favorite.
Oh.
Ready?
Yodel-ly, yodel-ly, yodel-ly. Anybody, anyone, anyone, anyone? Yodeling, alpenhorns.
Heidi.
Heidi Land.
Ready? We're going to Alps. We're going to talk about Switzerland.
Switzerland is what we're going to talk about.
So, because we, on every episode that we've ever done, whenever we mention Switzerland, we have the angels rejoicing. We just decided to get all of the angels rejoicing over with now so that I don't have to go through and add the angels rejoicing every 2 seconds as we talk about Switzerland.
Right. So it's more appropriate for the yodel anyway.
Yeah. Again, so here are your angel chorus being all happy about Switzerland, Switzerland, Switzerland.
So here is your yodeling choir from Ashy, Switzerland. Right? That's what you had there. Instead of us doing the angel thing 10,000 times, we thought, let's just get it all right here for you. Switzerland. Yodeling in the background, Switzerland.
There you go.
Yeah.
We're talking about Switzerland because that's our next stop on our European tour, where we've been taking you and walking you through our tour with us. We went to Switzerland as not the final country of our tour, but the last country where we spent spending the most time.
Yes.
Today
later.
We are talking about three new for us discoveries in Switzerland.
Right.
So we were very excited about things that we discovered on this trip. So the first thing
discovered
is
anew.
These floaty things. Okay. So
floaty things.
We stayed for the most part at our friend's house in Kersatz. And Kersatz, again, I'm Americanizing it because, you know, that's me. And so that's in the Bern.
Yeah, but Kersatz, you drive from that right into Bern. I mean, it's just right there, next to Bern.
And we, one of the days, walked down with his family to go to see the swimming hole or wherever they just go
with
swimming.
His family, with our friend's family.
Yeah.
That we were staying with.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
What did you think I was talking
about?
No,
I knew what you were talking about, but you didn't say...
I said we stay with our friends.
Yes, so we walked down with our friend's family.
So, took a walk there. They wanted me to ride a bike, and I had ridden a bike with him, with our friend, the day before, and had fallen when I tried to take a turn, because I hadn't ridden a bike in 15,000 years, and so that was really funny. So, I fell on the bike, so we decided that I needed to walk to the swimming area. No, I just fell over when I turned, and it was really hilarious. And so I walked to the swimming area. They rode their bikes, and we met there. So anyway, get to the swimming area, and it's beautiful. It's this beautiful river that I didn't know existed around Kersatz. And Kersatz itself, just walking, if you just, kind of walk somewhere, you're going to see these beautiful mountain range, and you're just in this gorgeous area of Switzerland, another gorgeous area of Switzerland.
Yeah.
But I had never... known that they had this river that was really close to them and relatively close. And so, 30-minute walk.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's close for
so a bike Swiss. Ride. Well, on a bike ride, you're there in 10 minutes or whatever. So it was a beautiful walk. Loved it. Okay, so I get to the swimming park. It's gorgeous. But these people are just you see these heads, groups of heads of people, and they're just floating down the river, and they're letting the river just take them.
Yeah, there are no inner tubes or anything.
No inner tube. It's just these heads just floating along. And I'm like, what in the world? And I noticed across the way. I could only see across the way, and I saw them
across
get out.
Across the way.
I could see them get out, and they had like something in their hands, but I couldn't tell what it was. And so that was, I don't know, it just like got me intrigued, but I forgot to ask my friend about it. And we just talked about other things, and I was like, hey, could I paddleboard on this lake? You know, we got to talk about paddleboarding, and I just got all distracted. Uh-huh. So next place we went, though, was Basel.
Ooh, yes.
And because
with
Rory had a
reason.
Gig there,
yes,
and we're going to tell you about that in a minute.
Yeah.
But Basel has a whole other, like, river going through it, like river canal, right, going through it. We get there, and there's all these people with their floating heads just, you know, floating down, like groups of people, just these little heads floating down the
really
river.
Interesting.
And so one of the backup singers that was with the gig that Rory was doing told me that the thing to do is you get this bag, and you fill it with your stuff.
What do you mean, your stuff?
Your stuff. She just said your stuff. So it might be your keys, your clothes, whatever, right? Whatever you want to take with you on your river excursion. And you put all your stuff in a bag, in this specific kind of bag, and you kind of fold it over. And as you're folding it over, you have to have like the right amount of stuff. How much stuff you have affects how the air is going to puff up your bag as you fold it over. So you fold over the top of the bag. And then if you're bathing suits on under your clothes, just take off your clothes, you put your clothes in your bag, roll up your bag, and then you just hop in the water and you go down.
Or depending on just, you know, where you're from in Europe, you just take your clothes off and right. put them in the bag. And
right. Some people yeah. may do that.
Some people
thankfully,
do
I didn't see
that.
as far as the river floating. Mm. But all I saw were little boppy heads, so who knows?
Yeah.
So anyway, they are floating down the river. And so what they do is they'll maybe take the train to one end of the river, and they only go the one direction, and then they'll just walk back. So
and
they
the river
walk.
Has quite a current, too.
Oh, gosh, y'all. It Man. Goes fast. Like, so it's nothing like I've experienced in Waco
it's
when I was
paddleboarding
here. It's
not white water, but that river flows.
Yes, but and the one in Kearsarge as well. It,
yeah.
it goes very fast. So that was, like, I guess what was intriguing, because they weren't just floating around in a lazy river,
yeah,
y'all.
They're moving.
They are moving. Thank you. I'm glad you pointed that out. So anyway, so I would like started stalking people because as it was starting to get dark, so people were finishing up their floating, bopping heads down the river,
and then, you were following
and then
them.
They get out, right? And then they just walk back up to maybe where they caught the train or maybe where they left their bikes or wherever. And so they were walking up the canal where Rory was close
the
to
river,
where we were
not
doing.
Not a canal, but the river.
Well,
river walk.
Yeah, yeah, they're walking on the concrete sidewalk.
That's, concrete's not a canal.
Cobblestone.
Yeah, the river walk there.
Okay, all right. Roy has to be here to interpret
wow,
what I mean.
Wow, they're walking on a canal. No.
Yeah. Okay, and so anyway, and I started like stalking people and like trying to take pictures of their bags because I'd never seen a bag like this and it was super cool. So
it was like made out of a rubber tire-y almost material. Not tire.
No, like a nylon. Like a nylon.
Was it nylon?
And it was almost
like a wetsuit?
It was almost like, no. It was almost like the shape of a tennis racket, but like funky. I don't know. Or like the bottom of a golf club, but like really well.
The bottom
Big.
Of a golf club.
You're messing me up. Okay,
no, I'm just
so
throwing out things that it might be shaped like pear.
So that was our first discovery. So that's the thing to do now in Switzerland is you stop it. You buy the. I just pushed him.
Uh-huh.
All right.
She did.
I got his mouth off the mic.
It's abuse.
I know. So mean. Okay, so that was our first discovery, was this cool thing. And we didn't do it ourselves, but I really wanted to come home with a bag.
And I wasn't aware of her discovery because I was doing the gig, but she showed me after sound check or something, and I was like, oh, that's interesting, but I didn't know what she was showing me, really.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, she explained it to me, kind of.
So y'all
but not
keep
really,
an eye,
so.
Y'all keep an eye on our socials because we'll be posting a picture of the bag of the people that I stalked. And one guy I just pulled, I said, hey, can I just get a picture with your bag? It's like that
you
I was really weird.
Did you get a picture of what's in it?
You just put your stuff. It's
but
just your
stuff. But
that would
have been cool to get a picture of what's in it.
You just, it's your stuff. It's not that hard.
Golly,
it's just your
it
stuff. It would have
been cool to see what his stuff
okay,
was.
Okay, our second discovery
okay.
is that there is a floss festival.
A festival called Floss. They call it the Floss Festival.
I'm sure they don't say it floss, but that's how it's spelled. F-L-O-S-S.
Yes. And it is an Basel exposition
No, oh, it's in Basel.
Basel, yeah, Basel Exposition. That's
so in 2023, the dates are going to be 9th through the 26th of August. And what they do is for that set period of time, so it's like a chunk of about three-ish weeks.
Yeah, it's like a month.
Well, it's 3 weeks. And
that's, which is like a month.
But it's not. So it's anyway, July. And it's so one act per night. So it's not
3 weeks.
It's not a festival that there's all these bands going on at one time.
So it's 5 acts a week?
It's every night. Every night during the whole festival, one act per night.
Sunday through...
Oh my gosh, it's one act per night.
For reals? And it's every night. Wow.
Whew.
I thought it was just like weekends, like Thursday through Sunday or something.
No, it's every night. During their time. So they do about 15, 16 acts. They've been doing this for... I talked to one of the original founders and organizers, and it's been going on for like 25-ish years, something crazy like that.
Yeah,
and
COVID didn't even stop them from having it.
And
pretty amazing.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. That's my story.
Okay. I don't know if that's true, but they started it because when you are on this non-canal, what is it, the river walk, Rory?
The river walk.
I just don't think they call it. I don't think
it's lined with all these historic buildings and hotels and stuff. And so the Riverwalk has like places that you can eat and places that you can go sit and watch the river or go jump in the river. It's really cool,
right? At least on the side,
we can't undersell that Riverwalk. It's really great.
And I don't think they call it a Riverwalk, but anyway, that's what we're gonna call it.
Right.
And the view from the side of the river that we were on casts an amazing view of the big cathedral that is absolutely gorgeous and all the other buildings that are kind of across the river. And it's such a gorgeous sight, and with the architecture and the different history that's going on the other side of the river, that 25, 30 years ago, the city wanted something to happen where people could be more appreciative of how gorgeous this scene was. And so they set up this stage on the water.
Yeah.
And so
it's a barge.
It's a barge on the water. So it's basically a floating stage, and it's super cool. And they started
it's literally a floating stage.
And it started out years ago, like originally they tried dance and they tried like wrestling kind of stuff and just like different types of acts. And they found that music was the most crowd drawing and the most successful. And obviously like the noise from the music is going to travel much further than trying to watch somebody perform
a wrestling match.
And so it has a further reach. And so that was really, really cool to just kind of learn a little bit about the history of it. And so it's been going on every year. And what's cool is our friend Vlada was performing.
Yeah.
Rory and I had planned to go to attend Vlada's concert and support him.
Yeah, we were so excited.
We didn't have any gigs ourselves. So we were like, yes, we've got this night free. We're going to come see you, come support. And turns out Vlada's backup singer had to cancel, and he asked Rory to fill in. So that was really awesome because Rory's such a good fit with Vlada's music.
Cool funk, soul stuff, gospel kind of mix.
Yeah, it's just right up, you know, Rory's alley vocally and all that good stuff. So our original plan, we were going to have some days off in Switzerland where we were not gigging, and we had just planned, I'm sure we'll just go sightsee, we'll just hop in the car and go drive somewhere and discover cool things. And instead of that happening, Rory needed to learn a lot of music in a short period of time. There was not a lot of
basically 2 days
warning
to learn 13 songs for the gig.
And it's very detailed music.
Yeah, lots of jazz chords, a lot of movement.
And every chorus is different, stuff like that. Yeah. So it's not something Rory could just spend 5 minutes on and be able to do well. You know?
And you can check it out at vladamusic.com.
There you go.
Yeah, V-L-A-D-A
we'll put the links to all of these in our show notes.
Yeah. Wonderful friend of ours. So I was really flattered that he asked me to do it. And singing with like some of the top musicians in Switzerland. These guys were just really fantastic. Mm-hmm. And the singers were wonderful. Two of the best known voices, at least in the German-speaking part of Switzerland. Mm-hmm. And so they were, these chicks could sing. They could sing.
Yep.
So
and they spoke English, so we
yeah,
were able
so
to
it was a blast singing with them.
Have conversations with them and get
yeah.
to know them
we
more.
We had so much fun on stage. Oh, my goodness. They had to get us to the stage.
This was super
fun, y'all. Show up for sound check, okay? And we'd practiced that afternoon, and they said, meet down here for sound check. So we did. We go down there, and there's a flat-bottom boat, a long flat-bottom boat, and there's a guy standing in, and he's like, get in. Like, what? So we had to get in a boat to go to the stage because the stage is, it's a ways off from the land so that people can see it, obviously. And so we get in the boat, we go over to the stage, do sound check, get in the boat, come back. It's time for the concert. We get in the boat, go over to the stage for the concert. It was really cool.
Because you're performing in the river. Right?
Yeah, and
you're
it's a
on the stage floating in the river.
Yeah, it's really funny because you stand up as there's no seats. So you're just kind of standing there as the boat's going across. The guy, he has a rope that's tied to the stage and tied to the shore, and he pulls the boat over with this rope, right? So as he's doing that, you're standing, and there's waves and stuff happening, and it's like, oh, we could all just, like, tumble into the water with our instruments and
you
whatever
totally
it is. Yeah, it's really funny. And as a matter of fact, we started the concert with, like, the band playing some stuff, a cool, you know, funky beat and stuff. And Vlada got in the boat and came across to the stage as the intro was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And he almost
made his
fell.
Grand entrance.
Yeah, made his grand entrance. It was really funny. He almost fell. Whoa.
Aww.
Yeah, but he didn't.
I couldn't tell. He just looked like he was moving and jamming with the music. So.
Well, he is.
There you go.
Yeah.
So Floss Festival was our second discovery, and just to learn that they do that every year. It's held in August. So again, the dates for 2023 are going to be the 9th through the 26th, and it's one act per night. So
of August.
It's just a great thing to be in Basel at that time and go grab some
experience
ice cream
that.
And have dinner on the Riverwalk area, and you can listen to some free music.
And, and there's great places to sit because all leading down to the water, it's terraced concrete. So it's like seats all the way down, like bench,
set
giant
up.
Long bench seats, you know?
Yeah, set up for you to enjoy
the
stage.
Yeah, really nice.
So our third discovery, because Rory was kind of secluded
in
the
studio,
learning music, I was like, you know what, I'm going
to
get a Swiss pass and I'm going
to
go see something.
Explore.
So my third favorite discovery was...
Without
Rory, sorry. Mm-hmm. But it was amazing. I went to La Vartezzo. And
where's that?
It's in the Italian part. It's Lavertezzo, Switzerland.
The Italian part of Switzerland.
It is super gorgeous. And the way I need to give a shout out to Google, because Google was really helpful with so many parts of our travel on this trip, on this tour, and not only using Google Translate for like the emails that we mentioned on our previous episode with Belgium, but also using the map feature for train schedules and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about in our episode with, I think it was our Denmark episode where, no, I'm sorry, it was our episode about Finland. One of our travel tips was, you know, each train company usually has some type of app, and you're able to look at the schedules and see what's going on. And I realized that I didn't even download the Swiss one. I just ended up using Google. And it was really helpful to just know, okay, here's where I want to go and whatever. So what I did is I knew that I wanted to go to the Italian part, but I didn't know where. So I just started kind of, I opened the map and I just clicked on a city. And I saw whatever pictures Google pulled up.
And,
city. Yeah. And I was like, ooh, that's cool. I want to go there. And then I clicked on another city. I'm like, ooh, that's cool. I want to go there.
Mm.
I clicked on another city. I'm like, okay, that would be cool, but I'm not in the mood for that kind of vibe. And so finally I found Lavertezzo, and I was like, that's the one I have to go to. Like, if I can hit these other ones, I'll do that as well. But
I think with the two Z's, they would say Tezzo.
Yes.
Lavertezzo.
You know, I took Italian and I took diction in college, so Italian, German, I should know how to do all of
but
these.
I'm curious, though, aside from the
but
language
I feel
thing
like
that,
it's
that
easier to
butchering.
Find things.
Yeah, aside from that, I'm curious, though, you name all these places you want to go, but how can you just choose where you want to go and just go? I mean, don't you have to buy a train ticket for each place or whatever?
Well, that's why I did a Swiss pass, so I could just go wherever I wanted to go.
I don't remember you saying you did a Swiss pass.
Yes, I got
a Swiss
pass.
Swiss pass.
And that Swiss Pass just allows you to do all transportations. You can do the ferry boat, you can do
gondola,
train, and you can do bus, and you just have it for the day and you hop on or whatever.
Swiss Pass is pretty awesome.
One thing that we learned is that it is cheaper if you book it much further in advance. So
yes.
We obviously had, we had our car, we had rented a car, so we had not planned to take the train, but I love taking the train, especially in Switzerland.
Yeah.
And so we just ended up doing the Swiss Pass for that day because I had not yet driven in Switzerland.
And she wasn't on the insurance. So.
And I'm not, yeah, I wasn't a driver, set aside as a driver on our rental car. So it just gave me a lot more freedom to just pay for it and just go. And so because Rory and I have really never explored the Italian part of Switzerland yet, I was like, that's where I'm going to go. So I got up early and I did a 4-hour train ride. And that was amazing because I love being on the train.
A 4-hour train ride, it's not like, oh, we had to go 4 hours to get there.
Oh
it's like four hours of awesomeness.
Yeah. No, gosh, it went so fast.
Yeah.
I loved it. And I knew where to go because I found Lavertezzo on Google Maps. I clicked directions and then I just knew like, okay, hop on this train. And it told me like, go to this track. You're going to walk 3 minutes. It gives you the walking details. It's super detailed and it's really, really helpful. So that's kind of how I got around. And I arrived at Lavertezzo and y'all, it was amazingly gorgeous. There is this really cool bridge walkway.
It is totally cool.
And it overlooks this river, and the river is green, bright green.
Emerald green.
I think the deal is I was showing pictures to my mom, and she pointed out that the water wasn't green. It was the water was like crystal clear.
Yeah, you could see all the way to
the
bottom.
So it meant that the rocks below were bright green.
Whatever's growing on them.
And then as it comes out, like it changes, the water changes colors, I guess because the rocks are changing colors. And the rocks have all of these amazing designs just created in them. And the water is rolling over them. And it is unreal beautiful. Again, I'll be posting on our socials and our stories and stuff like that.
Yeah, you got to see the bridge and those
pictures she took.
It's like two arches that connect.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool. It's got to be an old bridge.
Well, yeah. It's absolutely fabulous. There's an old church next to the area, and there is not much more there than just the scenery. There's a bus stop and
a
little ice cream place. Yeah, there's a couple little restaurant places and a couple little hotels. And so you could spend some time there. When I got there, I was just in awe. I just walked around, took a bunch of videos, and just soaked in the space for a while. And then I walked over to the bridge and I looked at the pole that had all of the hiking trails because I wanted to do a hike as well. I wanted to ride the train, I wanted to see this place, and I wanted to get in a really good hike. I'm sure we've mentioned this before, but Switzerland is like a big old hiking trail. Like you could just hike across the whole country. It's amazing. And so you just look at their pole and it'll tell you, like it'll point.
It's like a road sign, but it's for hiking.
Yeah, and it has little signs in each direction pointing. If you go this way, you're going to hit this town.
The signs are like arrows.
They
point in a particular direction to tell you which trail to take. And it tells you the name of the town or wherever you might be going and how long it takes to walk there.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are like, oh, 15 minutes, but it might be 4 days. It's really cool.
So next to this trailhead pole that I was looking for, there was a sign kind of advertising or pointing out the Babasco feature.
Is that like a hot sauce?
No.
Like a Swiss cousin to Tabasco?
So it's Bobasco.
Bobosco.
Bobosco. Bobosco. And I'm like, okay, that's interesting. And they talked about the balls, that you have to use their balls for the Bobosco. And you can buy the balls at this place, this place, this place. And you go up here to this area, and you can hike down for five hours, and you can watch the ball kind of go down the trail with you. It was kind of the impression that I got of what's going on. And so I was like, this is really interesting. So I looked at the map that it drew, and I was like, okay, if I can get a bus up there, then I could hike down. Like, I knew that there was some type of hiking because of this Bobosco sign. And I didn't know if I was going to do the Bobosco, but I was like, you know, it at least gave me a direction of like, okay, I'll go up here and hike. So I just got on the bus and just kept going. And then, like, because it's a Swiss pass, I can go wherever. So I just got on and just started riding, like, up the mountain and going up steeper and steeper and higher and higher. And I was just like, oh, you know what? I'm going to get off here because this one's cute. This is a cute little town. So I just hopped off. And I just kind of kept my eyes out for, like, where do I want to get off? I just got off where it, like, looked cute. And also kind of where it looked like the trail was going to start. So I got off in this cute little town, saw this gorgeous old church. And what is so cool about the Italian part of Switzerland is that it's got that Italian influence in the landscape. And living in California and such, one of my favorite things when we lived in LA is the palm trees against the mountain. And just like that, a palm tree against the mountain and a bright blue sky. It was just like one of my favorite things in the whole world. And so I'm getting to the Italian part of Switzerland, and there's palm trees with the mountains again, but with the Alps against the blue sky. So I don't know, like, the Italian part might be winning over the German part is like my favorite.
No, stop. You know what? I didn't want to hear that. I wasn't there.
I know. I'm just saying it's now in the running.
No, it's not. Because I wasn't there, and so I can't, you know, no.
It was absolutely gorgeous.
The Jungfrau, Berner Oberland is still the rock.
It's still
place,
amazing.
It's still the place.
It's just all amazing because it's all Switzerland. Anyway, I got off, saw this cool building, but what's cool is the buildings in the Italian part are more looking like Italy, right? So you've got a little bit more of Italian structure to how the buildings are and how the landscape is and all that.
Do they still have like flower boxes in the windows and stuff?
Not as much, huh?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Yeah.
So I started just walking down. I stopped at the next town. I just, you know, started walking down the street, got to the next town, ate some lunch there, and there they were selling the Bobosco balls. And so they're 7 francs, which right now is $7. And I was like, huh. And they said, you know, it's for kids, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So I decided that I would not do it. And I'm glad that I didn't do it myself because it turns out that as you hike down, there are little stations where they have built these contraptions for your ball to kind of go down the mountain.
Trail for the ball to follow.
Yes. And again, I'll post these in our videos on our stories.
Bobosco trails. Okay, sorry.
Are you like trying to get a?
No, it's bad to the bone. You know, bad to the bone. Bobosco.
You are in a mood. You are, yeah.
Always in a mood.
Yes, you are always in a mood.
So what's the ball made out of?
Today's mood is very interesting. So the ball is.
That's because I'm not a part of the story.
So anyway, different architects have designed different little contraptions for the balls to go down. And so you'll hike a little bit, and then you'll run into a Bobosco thing.
So
and then you hike a little bit, and then you see another Bobosco thing.
So to give you a description, I saw some of the pictures you made. It's like they take a log, a small log, and they cut it in half, and then take
Not
an ice cream scoop or whatever. They take an ice cream scoop and carve out the middle of it.
So it looks like a hot dog bun.
So you put the ball, and it rolls down the ice cream scoop lane. Right?
Right, or
and
like then, a hot dog like bun. Little,
yeah, or a hot dog, well, except it's...
The wood looks like a hot dog bun in that sense that it's an open hot dog bun.
Yeah,
and then the
was
ball...
scooped out with an ice cream scoop.
Yes, yes.
And then there it's
and
like...
And the ball
and
rolls
then,
down.
And then it's also like you're playing putt-putt at a course that has windmills and dragons and buildings and stuff.
Yeah, and water.
Because you're going, Bobosco ball. Goes through these things and has all this fun time, and sometimes it floats in the water on these little things and all this. See, and you do this as you go down the trail. So basically, you follow the bouncing ball.
Well, it's not the rolling ball. Yeah.
Well, it bounces sometimes. I bet I saw one of the things where it had to bounce.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So as you're hiking, you see these things. There was also a 9 things of art something
a
going
9
on.
9 things of art something.
It was in Italian, and I didn't
take the
time.
We're going to be as vague as
time.
We can on this point.
Yes, yes. But there were different art structures down this hike. So at one point, I got to a part in the trail, and someone had taken rocks and made a perfect pyramid of rocks. And the very top rock had been carved or
chiseled
where it was a perfect flat point. And the rocks made a pyramid. And there were different things like that as well throughout, where they had taken nature and pointed out the art in the nature, or the nature in a certain part of this hike inspired art, and they made art with nature, inspired by the nature around it. And so that was also going on during this hike as I'm hiking down. And I'm hiking down, and to my left the whole time is part of that same river.
The Emerald River.
Yes, the whole time.
What's
so
crazy is...
It was like when I went and we hiked in Seaside, Oregon, where I was hiking and we had the ocean and the beach on the left. You had that sound of the ocean while you're hiking, but you're in the forest.
In the mountain.
Same type of vibe. Like we were in, like, I was in like the forest, but then to the left of me was this gorgeous
river. So you're not just in the forest, you're on a mountainside in the forest.
Tons of rocks and river flow, and it was amazing. So that was our third discovery. And Rory discovered that he has to go there next time.
Well, I guess, since she went without me this time.
I learned, too, that I was so close to where James Bond was filmed or whatever, and I...
Oh, where he jumped off the dam?
I guess, yeah.
Ooh, the world's tallest bungee jump, like, connected to the ground.
Yeah, I wasn't too terribly far from that, or relatively far. But my day was awesome, and I hiked down that mountain, and then... I took a detour on my train ride home to go see a friend, and he fed me Rushdie, Mishi, who has been playing guitar for us, and Mariana.
Mariana.
I just
did it like she was Finnish. Mariana.
You still, Mariana. Rory still has Finnish on his brain. It's crazy.
I can't speak other languages Rushdie's now. They all sound like I'm Finnish.
Rushdie's my favorite Swiss dish, and I hadn't had any, so Mishi was really sweet and made me some Rushdie. And then, like, at 10 o'clock at night, and then I finally got home. So that was our wonderful three discoveries. We're going to talk more about Switzerland in our next episode. We have more to tell you, and we are excited to share it with you, and we'll save it for next time.
Later. And now it's time for...
our
travel tip. So this travel tip is related to ones we've talked about in the past. However, we just experienced a very first-hand specific account of it, like a micro account of it. Now, everyone knows that you want to buy your airline tickets in advance to save money, right?
Mm-hmm, of course.
So what I learned also is that if you want to take the TGV, for example, the fast train, maybe from Brussels to Paris, it's cheaper if you buy it earlier. I checked like a week ahead of time, or maybe a little more than that, something, and our plans weren't yet secure, and it was like $50 each. And then I bought it a few days in advance once we finally knew our plans, and it was $184 total. So it went up like $25 each plus tax.
And I was not happy about that.
Yeah. So that's a little travel tip there. Don't tell your wife. That's my travel tip. Don't tell your wife. And then,
We learned that with the Swiss Pass.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
That's what I was going to say. Same with the Swiss Pass. Yeah, same with the Swiss Pass. That's a tip. Even for train stuff, I would think it was always the same, but apparently not true. So there's your travel tip. Buy in advance. And here's the cool thing. TGV is free cancellation until midnight of the day of travel, something like that. So go ahead and buy it and just cancel it. But save money and buy it now that we know that. Okay, that's a travel tip. But most of all, don't tell your wife.
And the other travel tip is be a forgiving wife.
Yes.
Okay. And now it's time for our Bring Travel Home segment.
Bring Travel Home segment.
All right. We have brought home... from Switzerland and the Netherlands especially. We've brought home the hard cheese.
The
customs,
old cheese.
You're allowed to bring home hard cheese. So if you think about, I think we've mentioned this before, but maybe you didn't catch that episode. But for example, Gouda cheese that we call it, it's really Gouda cheese.
Gouda cheese.
Out of the Netherlands is because it is made and birthed from cows and factories in Gouda.
The cheese is birthed.
So Gruyere cheese, for example, in Switzerland is, of course, from the town and village of Gruyere. And so you're using cows and farmers and milk that are specific to Gruyere cows. And every cheese in Switzerland is different because it's based on the region where the cows create their milk.
Where they're pastured, what they eat, and it's different.
It tastes different because the grass is
different. The cows that eat up high on the mountain is different from the cows that eat in the valley.
And so we have these special Alp cheeses. So on this trip, we brought home an Alp cheese.
Alpres.
That our wonderful friends, Lorenz and Sandra,
yes,
got for us.
Got us.
So thank you. So that's really cool, right? The Alp cheese, and what's crazy is when it's a really big farm cheese, you can taste the dirt, the ground, the mud, the grass.
The manure.
You taste
fertilizer.
That in the
it's
cheese.
It's really bizarre. It's very farmy.
Yes, it's very bizarre.
But it can be wonderful.
So
What
we didn't know is we bought this chocolate from Villers. And
V-I-L-L-A-R-S. It's a Swiss chocolate company.
Yes. So we were told by the French chocolatier that we met in Belgium, who came from France to see our concert in Belgium, and we got to talk with her. That was super
Merci
fun.
Beaucoup.
And so we learned about that. We'll probably talk about that in our next episode. But she said, when we went to Switzerland, I said, hey, what chocolate should I check out? And she said, well, Villers is supposed to be a really great chocolatier. V-I-L-L-A-R-S. So we found Villers at a cheese shop. They were selling Villers chocolate.
At a cheese shop, of all things.
Yeah. And so we were getting cheese, and then we realized, oh, look, Rory, I was like, look, it's
we
Villers. We have to buy this because she said it's a good one. And so I was going to bring, there were three bars in this package. And so I'm like, okay, my dad likes caramel, mom likes milk. So it was like a milk bar, a bar with caramel, and a bar that was more like robust chocolate. And Rory and I are trying to eat the dark chocolate because that's better for you. So I was like, perfect. We'll get a bar. Dad will get a bar. Mom will get a bar. What I didn't realize until
we got home. Well, stateside anyway.
Each bar is from a different region.
So it's made with milk from a different region. Each bar represents milk from a different region of Switzerland.
It's totally like the cheese. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It was so cool.
There's a Bern, there's a Freiburg, and there's a Pays de Vaud. So it's three different cantons of Switzerland that the milk came from, that the chocolate was made from. And you can taste it in the chocolate.
Every bar, it tastes completely different because of the milk.
And not because of what's in it, but because of the chocolate. Not because of the caramel and stuff, but the chocolate of each bar tastes different. And of course, the bars taste different because one's got caramel, one doesn't, and one's darker. But the chocolate itself?
Well, yeah, it just means that it's just like caramelized.
Yeah, I know. Each one, the chocolate, because of the cow, tastes different.
Yeah. So it's super crazy. They were all in the French part of Switzerland. Well, Bern is more the German part.
Well, it is the German
Freiburg
part.
And Pays de Vaud they're both in the French part. But I could not believe, like, in this chocolate from Pays de Vaud, the third bar, the more robust bar, you can taste the farm.
Very robust
in the chocolate.
Very robust cows.
So it was super bizarre and super cool. And that's why, like, European chocolate in general, like, why people rave about, like, we rave about Finnish chocolate, but people rave about the Swiss chocolate and the Belgian chocolate and all
French
that.
French chocolate.
It's because it's all made with happy cows who are on the grass, you know, they're grass-fed cows, and they're all, it's just all fresh, it's non-pasturized, it's just like,
often,
it's
but not
all
different. Not always, I'm sure, but especially in Switzerland, we do know, because we watch them
we
eat
see
the grass,
cow.
Talk to the farmers.
But it was just super bizarre. We had never seen chocolate indicative to an area. And
we've never experienced the difference in taste. Didn't know that was even possible.
Yeah. So that was super cool and super clever of Villers. So I was super inspired too by their...
Super, super, super.
What they're doing.
And
so
that's what we did
you,
this
Villers,
time. That's
for
what
this
we brought
experience.
Home. Yes.
realizing that even the different milks around Switzerland obviously affect the cheese, but they now obviously now affect the chocolate.
Merci and merci schön. Right? Mm-hmm. Fillers.
We hope we've inspired you this episode.
So join us next time.
Please subscribe to, rate, and share our podcast with your friends.
Or, you know, whomever.
And please like and follow us on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook.
We're also on Twitter. And on all social platforms, we are at The Romies. That's TheRoamies. And our main hub is our website.
At www.theromies.com.
That's right. That's
TheRoamies.com. We'll be there until next time.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Bye.